Hi. Hi there.
Hi. Welcome to Zero Issues Comic Podcast. I'm Kyle.
I'm Merc.
I'm Bri.
And we really want to talk to you about comics. So pick up the phone.
Dial 1-800-0-ISSUES.
To be breathy and, yeah. You just crank up the levels in that one.
Crank up the levels. Lean back and watch us do our thing. But don't watch, like, it's an audio.
Listen, but watch while you're listening.
We'll tell you what we're doing.
Listen, do you smell something?
No, that's not right. No.
You might want to see a doctor as soon as possible. You may be having a stroke.
If you
My face is sliding.
My face is sliding?
Stroke.
Oh, okay. It happens on one side.
I'm imagining someone's face melting off.
Mine is, after all that.
Yeah, melting off with
Raiders
pure,
of the Lost Ark.
With it's pure like, passion.
If yeah. you're a Nazi, that happens.
We're just posing seductively in Metron's chair right now. You can't see it, but it's happening.
We're outside of time.
But inside of sexy.
But inside of... Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Yeah.
We really should all just abandon that.
Okay.
Welcome to the show.
Happy Valentine's Day, if you happen to be listening to this on Valentine's Day. And if not, just come back. Wait.
If it's September 23rd, then happy September 23rd.
Yes, happy whatever day it happens to be, but... Extra happy day if it's Valentine's Day.
Because we're posting this just before Valentine's Day, if that hasn't come across.
And if it's September 24th, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Get out.
That's the one day you shouldn't be listening to this.
That's the day.
One day.
That's the one.
That's the Valentine's
Day. We ask you one thing. One fucking thing. Trevor. Ugh. You can't do it? Trevor Fitzroy, the time traveler.
Trevor Fitzroy.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
pretty hateable.
Yeah.
The green hair and yeah. like the...
He was always irritating.
He had like a vest or a jacket with no shirt.
That was during the jacket time when everybody had...
Yeah, everyone had some sort of ridiculous jacket.
Hey, Jim Lee, do you want to draw a jacket on this? Sure.
It was also during shirt time, though. Like, it's okay to wear a shirt.
Yeah, it should be. But in the future, shirts have been banished because of the unpleasantness.
Yeah.
The chafing?
The chafing. Hmm. It's mostly the chafing.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Now my pants are chafing me.
So we're going to be talking about...
We're talking about, comic book love.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of romance.
Oh, yeah.
And, you really should listen to a episode about romance. And three bald dudes talking about comic books.
Oh, yeah.
Because you would know it better.
What's up? Phase of Tiger, you just hit the jackpot.
You ready to get bald? Because we're all going there.
My word.
Nice one.
Thank you.
So we were coming up with, we were thinking like couples, one night stands, crazy offspring, sex men. Which I started doing a little bit of research.
That's already a thing, right?
Sex men is actually a fan fiction site for writing sexy fiction of X-Men.
Really?
It is. Sex men. I can't say I read any of it. I'll probably go back to it myself.
So where's the Marrow plus Maggot section? No?
Yeah.
Somebody's getting boned?
It's going in my head, and it's got two slugs.
I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Well, that's in there forever now.
Can I start off with a really good one?
Oh, please.
Absolutely.
Ultimates 3.
Oh. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And again, here's the thing.
I don't even have to say anything.
I'm squirming in my seat, and I don't know which part it is.
Because it could be anything.
Anything in Ultimates 3. That's a bad... Oh, man. Go on. Okay. I'm as prepared as I can be.
Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Oh!
Who, in the lead up to this, Wolverine bangs Magda, who is Magneto's lover. Forgive me for the bang, that's harsh, but I'm just saying. This is Magneto's lover.
Makes sweet love.
He makes sweet love to Magda.
As only Ultimate Wolverine can do.
Yeah.
The very gentle soul.
Schnickety, schnickety. Lovingly.
Schnickety. You said schnickety?
Schnickety.
Oh, not dickety.
Dickety, dickety, ooh. Do. So Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver could technically be his kids. So in Ultimates 3, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver actually hook up.
They're trysting it up.
Yeah.
And just in case we weren't quite aware, they are brother and
they
sister.
They are brother and sister. Are they not twins? That's always been the thing. Incarnation.
Yeah.
Pardon me, as far as I know.
They've been
twins.
And that's one of those ones where in, like, Ultimates and Ultimates 2, it was sort of suggested that might be going on.
Oh,
but
there was a, yeah.
Here's the part where if Mark Millar has the good taste to be subtle about something, and you don't, maybe you gotta check your entire life, Jeff Loeb.
So they end up having sex in the woods. While
T-Rex watches.
Not a T-Rex, Logan. Wolverine watches. So he watches his possible kids go to town and have incestuous lovemaking. That's the definition of creepy. His claws should never pop out again.
Romance.
I've said as much about Jeff Loeb's Ultimate comics, but that is the most.
Who in the editorial staff said, "Fuck yeah, that's a good idea.
That's fine. Do that." Oh boy.
You know what? I can almost forgive the incestuous thing. I can almost say, yeah. You know what? If you want to go weird and head that way, fine. But like. Hey, why don't we have Wolverine jacking it in the bush, watching? That's a good idea.
That might be a bit far.
What else is he doing, watching in the bush as two people?
Okay, if I were to come across two people having sex in the woods, my first thought wouldn't be, well, better whip it out.
Well, no, because your first thought would be to leave.
In fairness,
you're sticking around. Odds are.
In fairness,
maybe I'm waiting for
You're not breaking out a deck of cards.
Ultimate Wolverine is a notorious scumbag. Ultimate Wolverine is a complete piece of shit.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Ick.
Yeah, I don't. Again, that's very unpleasant. And
it is. So do we want to?
Really,
okay, let's.
You really brought the episode down.
Yeah,
right
I thought I'd start on a
right
great
from
start.
The start.
So let's flip it. Who do you think are the best couples? Who are your iconic couples. Who are the best ones?
I'm thinking about it. Everything seems tainted now. But,
Taint.
I'll open up with the big one, for me anyway. Peter Parker and Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. Mary Jane Watson. Or Mary Jane Watson Parker.
Mm.
As she was for 20 years there.
Yeah.
She can keep her maiden name if she wants. But, that marriage, again, during the dark period, we spoke... about clones, I think, a bit last time? Or was it this time? I forget.
That was last time.
Yeah, last time we talked about clones a bit. 90s weren't very good to Spidey in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. No, that being one.
You read that article, Spider-Man in Love. Did you, Merc, read it?
No, I don't.
It was an article that was sent to Brian myself.
I think we posted it onto the Zero Issues Facebook page.
But it was very much about just how... That was, like, a good superhero relationship.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't based on power. Mary Jane was her own person. She wasn't Gwen Stacy. She wasn't this unattainable thing. She was a real, fully developed character.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't always a perfect marriage, but it was two characters who were very much in love with each other, and they worked well together.
It was, but it, the point being that it was a real, it felt like a real relationship. Yes. Because again, they're both people with baggage and history, and again, it wasn't perfect all the time. It wasn't easy all the time. But,
and even history and baggage with each other. And yeah. It's like they grew up with each other kind of thing, and everybody's seen that, and it's.
And again, yeah. Like they, you know what I mean? Like they both kind of dated friends of each other and stuff like yeah. that. And it was, you know what I mean? It's complicated and stuff like that. But, you know, they had to work through things and strengthen their bond and actually be devoted to each other and get through it the hard way, because that's what an actual adult relationship is.
What?
And I think we've discussed this a little bit before in previous episodes. I think you talked, Bri, talked a bit about it. And, you know, she put it in a really good perspective of just that. Their relationship was the best relationship, not just how they, you know, you want to go back to, oh, him being a kid and kind of, or being single and
yeah.
relatable and like, well, this is relatable and it doesn't have to be relatable as in I'm married and I'm looking at another married couple or I'm single and I can't relate to a married. No, this is something that's attainable. It's something that's like, right. I view this as a good thing. Why can't we have that in a comic book? No, well, you have to take it out and put him back to a...
Yeah, and again, it's probably, it might be repeating what we said before, but I mean, like, there sort of seems to, like, taking him away from the marriage and be like, well, you know, have him be like a, you know, swinging single who's got all sorts of social problems and stuff like that. There seems to be that idea that, like...
Spreading his webbing around town.
Yeah, yeah. But that idea that, like, marriage is boring or the end of it or something like that, and that's not how it is, man.
No, like, no, it's like... You've attained your yeah. That's all you have to do. You're done.
There's still
you have nowhere to go.
Like, yeah. What? If you can't figure out a way to have like drama and conflict and you know actual like very strong character work within telling a story about a marriage,
yeah.
you're not trying very hard.
Yeah. If you can't find drama and conflict,
there's a lot of stuff going on there.
In a marriage, then you're obviously not married.
Yeah.
That life continues.
Or, again, I think in some cases, I think some writers and editors are maybe are married and they're really kind of got the rose-colored glasses on about maybe. Singlehood. And don't project that onto Spidey, please.
Yeah, because I feel like Peter Parker would be a sad single guy.
Yeah.
I get that, you know, he's out there
right
now and he's not seeing anyone at the moment, is he?
Not
since he not took his life back from Dr. Octopus.
Yes, he took his life back, and there's Silk who,
yeah, that's
they have some pheromone thing where they can't stop trying to have sex with each other for no particular reason, because you know
because kids comics.
Because kids comics, yeah. So that's fine,
but not a marriage.
But no, you can't have somebody devoted to the love of their life or anything like that. I've said it before, but as a kid, I started reading Spider-Man comics when he was married, and I was fine with it. I enjoyed the hell out of them, and I was like a child who didn't understand that kind of relationship, but, you know, a lot of that, it was still compelling.
It was nice that he compelling. Had someone to come home to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like, so how was your day? Mysterio is such a dick. I know, honey. I know Mysterio
is a dick. She is in one ways like the anchor, and is, in a plot sense... She's the reflection. It's like you come home and you're going to talk to somebody right. about it. In a plot device, like it's basically, here's a character talking to another character. This is how you explain things, rather than he comes home and just thinks about things.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't really work.
I better bust out the square dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. I'm Caption Peter. Like, this is how you have interaction. This is how you progress the plot. This is how you... have exposition. You is how you do things. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how you tell a story.
I always found Gwen boring as hell. Personally, I found her just very vanilla and very, like, she was just the likely one just to sort of, you know, there was a misunderstanding with her father, so she runs away crying. Like, that kind of a character. Right. She just seemed kind of...
Well, but it was a long time ago, and that's, like, very underdeveloped, especially female yes. characters.
And we don't know what she might have become if she stuck
around. But no, but then that's, but... yeah. And everybody, I think it's because often it's the things you lose very early that you just get a hint of that right. everybody pines over and everybody thinks, oh, that would have been so great. Well, no, it's you haven't seen the full extent of it. Like, Mary Jane is a fantastic character and has been for years.
And there's a reason that, again, that relationship works so well, and that there's a reason that, you know, it's in my opinion, stupid to keep them apart.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, they're really two characters that are kind of made for each other in a lot of ways. They both have, like, some tragedy in their backstory and a lot of guilt that they carry with that. And they both sort of, you know, sort of hide behind personas in order to sort of deal with that. And you know, there's some similar themes with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that where they sort of understand each other, I think, more than anyone else could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else?
In terms of the best... There was a time when Superman and Lois Lane were quite the hot item.
Really?
That's the iconic thing right there.
There's like
I think those are the two. Well, was maybe there's like, just a couple other ones.
Was
those
it like 70 something years? I think.
She looks pretty
it was
good.
It was a little period. But it took them a long time to really, really get together.
Yeah.
Are you kids gonna try to make this work or?
Yeah. And that's
you can't hold down a cloud.
Batman was always getting in the way, so
true. We'll get there.
Batman's trying to double date. He's like, okay, Bruce, you've been through like 50 women. They keep dying. They keep dying or are evil.
And then there's Vicky Vale, who just vanishes every now and then. Like,
Vicky
people just forget she's not around.
Vicky Vale. That's all I can think when I hear that name. Vicky Vale.
Yeah, Superman and
careful.
Lois
careful.
Is a gimme.
Prince does not like his songs being included in things.
Oh, well. You're part of my life, Prince, sorry.
And to the new 52 of it now, though, I mean, Superman and Wonder Woman... I I'm not really reading a lot of it, but I just on a concept level, what is it?
I don't mind that, you know, to be honest.
And maybe it's better executed than I'm thinking.
You have no faith.
I have no faith, no.
Again. I don't mind the idea of it. Like, honestly, I haven't read any of it, but it's that's one of the few things I don't mind in the New 52.
Well, they're effectively,
well they're executing it, I don't know.
Sure. They're effectively like two gods dating.
Yeah, which I almost think, you know what, that might be a better idea.
I don't think so at all.
I almost never got the whole Lois Lane thing that it was...
Well,
I get it, she's
strong of will.
She's
fearless. But
she'll give Brainiac the old double bird.
The thing that I feel...
If they had sex, he'd snap her like a twig, though. It's, you know...
He's in control of himself.
Until that point.
Yeah.
Then he blows through her like a shotgun.
Again, I feel like...
It's not like, how does... Whoa! Honey? Oh, no.
I don't feel like Superman should be a god, though.
I can't.
It's sort of the thing with Superman in particular. I don't feel like, again, he's supposed to inspire people and represent the best of humanity because he's, again, he's an alien, he's superpowered, but he's raised human. And
yes, but there's the morality side of it.
Sure.
And the humanity side of it, but then there's the physicality side is a thing that I never understood, that it's like, you know, just, I understand that he can, he can control himself, like he's not shaking somebody's hand and crushing them, sort of thing, but at the same time, then there's other things of just relating to things that
He does a lot of yoga.
But just being almost like separate and almost connecting with Wonder Woman in terms of like the two of them can understand each other on a level that very few people on the planet can. And I'm like, okay, I see that. Because it's like the two of them understanding each other on that level of this is what we do. We do this for the planet. We're trying to be this good for everyone. And there's very few that understand our struggle, and we can take solace in each other with that, understanding that struggle.
At the same time, I feel like there's...
sweet super love.
Sure. I feel like there's a certain element, though, that Superman sort of in, you know, if he's drawn to somebody who is sort of his close anyway, like his sort of physical equal as like a superpower being, if isn't he kind of putting himself above people a little bit in that way?
Are you mocking his love?
No.
Is that what you're doing?
No.
How dare you mock his love?
You're judging his love!
The idea, I think, and I'm not saying it's Superman, I'm not saying, like, the character Superman doing this. I feel like that the thought process maybe behind, like, you know, these decisions on an editorial level, it's kind of like, well, he needs to be with somebody who's his, like, physical equal, which just seems like that's the opposite of what Superman should kind of represent. He shouldn't feel like he's better than anybody else.
I don't see that as a feeling of better than anybody else.
I don't think Superman, the character, should, but I feel like the thinking behind the decision to do that.
In terms of, I think in the writing process, I actually kind of agree with it, that, in kind of what I've already explained, in just that it's, okay, these characters go through things that no other human being can understand, and in terms of, like, just of what they do day to day, now, I just beat up Brainiac, and then, you know, whoever, Magog, just beat the crap out of him. And that, like, and things like that. And then there's also just of things that regular people can't understand. And it's not a matter of
being put above,
but it's like, oh, two people connect on that level.
Sure.
You connect with who you're going to connect. And it doesn't lessen those other people. It just is here.
But it's basically saying that they operate on a level that those people can't touch.
So you should have married a really stupid person.
Oh,
instead of your wife, who's quite smart.
She is. No, I'm not saying that.
I see it that way. It's like,
well, I don't have superpowers.
You should marry somebody who's dumb.
I think this is what the draw for Lois Lane, to me at the very least, is the only thing that she lacks is the physical superpowers that Superman has by chance.
Mm.
He didn't earn them. She's every bit as devoted to justice and truth in the American way. You can take that out if you want. And she's absolutely as fearless. She puts herself at risk for the better good all the time.
I don't lessen Lois, but she does it
without superpowers, which in a sense, I always kind of like the idea that, like, Superman looks to Lois like his superhero, because she is every bit as devoted and brave as he is, but doesn't have the physical benefit he does.
I get it, but then I also say, that doesn't mean that, okay, I should go to Lois because she's human and not Wonder Woman because she's not.
No.
Like, it's...
No, I'm just saying, on a personality level, Lois and Superman, Lois and Clark has worked damn well for, like, 70-something years, and I feel like, you know, that's a natural thing. I think they're kind of made for each other, and Wonder Woman, that was never really a big thing until they decided to make it one.
We'll agree to disagree.
That's fine.
We'll be right back.
What?
You gonna wash your hands?
No. 'Cause I'm evil.
Since we're talking about Superman.
Okay.
I have two Superman stories.
Okay.
That during my research I discovered. Do you want the super cousin love? Or tentacle sex first?
Ooh. I think I know the tentacle sex one.
You want to go tentacle sex?
I think I can speak on tentacle sex.
Do you know what that is?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. No,
Brian knows what it is.
I'm very aware of that story.
This is Batman and Superman watching tentacle sex together.
Yeah.
Getting
very emotional about it.
Batman goes...
He's having a sleepover.
He goes for a sleepover at the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
He's got his little his sleeping bag. His super friends roll out sleeping bags.
He brought his toothbrush.
He's like, I could just leave a toothbrush here. Yeah.
He brought, no.
It's
like, oh, no.
That's a little forward.
I thought it was a cute kid sleepover.
No.
I brought a Ouija board. We can talk to Jason Todd. Do we have to?
Oh, that's harsh.
Do we have to, though?
Must we?
That's harsh. Yeah, so Batman goes to the Fortress of Solitude. They share their feelings and talk a lot, and because they're like, oh, we can finally open up to each other and share, and we're superheroes, super friends. And then
super more than friends.
super well, that too, I guess. Then tentacle aliens land and feed off their honest emotions, and they're like drawing off the emotions that the whole planet has. But specifically you guys, because you have the most honest emotions on the planet.
They're feeding on the emotions of the entire planet, but the strongest ones seem to be Batman and Superman.
Yes, exactly. And then the tentacles basically start banging as Batman and Superman watch.
There are tentacles going into holes.
Yeah,
in
you actually, this is an audio podcast, so I can't show you this, but you got to look it up.
You're going to find it. Trust me.
They look like...
Now, before you do that, Control Shift N. You want to go incognito for this.
they need
a shortcut right away.
Well, I'm a parent.
Fair enough.
They have... It's like octopus tentacles. That sort of thing without the suctiony cups.
Sure.
But then some of them have little holes and like their tentacles are going into their holes. And it's like, wow, why don't you just give it a vagina and get it over with?
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. So they're feeding off basically they discover that these aliens feed off their emotion, off the emotions of others in order to live. But these aliens, these creatures,
aliens.
These beautiful tentacle fucking aliens, who feed off
in Soviet Russia.
In Soviet Russia. Tentacles, you, fuck you.
You fuck tentacles.
But instead, they feed off the emotions of others and drain the emotions of others in order to live. But instead of draining off all of the Earth's emotions
sucking
in order to survive and sucking it all down, they decide to die and let Earth live as a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because Earth is so good, just like everybody is. So what do Batman and Superman do? They start to cry. And then they hug.
And then...
And then the curtain closes, and we never see what happens beyond.
And it closes in, like, it's one of those heart-shaped sort of irises.
Oh, we're terrible at high fives.
Okay, so that's my first...
My favorite recurring bit that no one hears or sees is that we're terrible at high fives on this show.
They just hit each other in the face.
Yeah.
Oh!
Both unconscious. Merc's alone.
That's my way.
Excellent.
That's the way I go. I do have another one.
Yeah.
Here's the second one.
Is it as gross?
It is. It's not quite as specifically gross, but it's really disturbing.
Because I gotta say, where's the romance? This is a Valentine's Day episode. We're just talking about fucking.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no. Okay. It's just kind of a romance one.
Here.
Early Action Comics issue.
Mm-hmm.
And Supergirl wants to find Superman, or wants Superman to get married. And he says he'll never marry because he wants to devote himself to defending the Earth.
Blah, blah, blah. Can't do that with a lady.
Blah, blah, blah.
Can't do that with some stupid girl. I'm Superman. Also Patrick Warburton.
So he does say, he says to Supergirl, if he were to marry, and the picture is like him standing in front of her and kind of grabbing her, just touching her lightly by the chin, you know, oh, hey, young
very
lady.
Very paternalistic.
Yeah,
kind of
just
thing.
Like, hey, yeah, you kind of thing.
Creepy, I know.
Yeah, a little creepy. He says, if I were to marry, it would be someone super unlovable like you. But we can't marry because we're cousins. Though cousins can marry in certain countries on Earth. No, this is a quote. I'm still going. We're both from the planet Krypton, where the marriage of cousins was unlawful. That's a quote. That was that whole
thing. How did he know that? Crystals.
Yeah, definitely crystals.
So what is she...
For some reason, Jor-El brought that up specifically. Frequently.
Let me also specifically say, she is about 16 at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't bang your cousin.
Don't Jor-El. Your underage cousin.
There's like 14 crystals that just keep saying that.
I cannot stress this enough.
Dad, come on. Stop touching your cousin. So what does she do?
Clark.
This continues. What does she do? She still says, I want to play Cupid. So she finds an older copy of herself in an alternate universe and introduces the two of them. And they hit it off supers.
Hooray.
Supergirl is super...
That's not creepy at all.
She's super devoted to incest.
Yeah.
She's more devoted to incest than I am to, like, the majority of the things in my life.
So, Superman's new older cousin partner creepy thing, she can't
live
on... Super lady. She can't live on Earth. So he breaks her soul and leaves her and secretly waits to super bang his cousin.
Wait, what? That last part, is that... What? Is he actually... No. Listen.
Someday.
He basically says to her, oh, you can't come to Earth. She can't live there, so I'm going to have to leave you here. So there's just pictures of her crying. And then he comes back and he's like, no, can't do it. I'm heartbroken too. But if I was to marry, it'd be someone just like you. And then he puts on overalls.
Yeah. Oh, God. Grows a sloppy beard.
Sloppy beard. Super beard.
I mean, a sloppy one.
Yeah.
Born in this place is a nice one.
That's the thing about Superman. He can't actually grow a good beard.
No.
He's like Josh Hartnett.
Oh.
The one thing I have over both of them.
There you go.
It's funny because it's true.
Enjoy. Hey, let's talk about another good relationship.
Sure.
How about...
Jughead and Big Ethel.
Yeah. It seems like it's kind of unhealthy, actually.
Yeah, but, you know, he'll come around.
Is there a healthy relationship in Archie? That's my question.
No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Jughead and Betty, but they're just friends.
Dilton and internet porn.
Yeah. Kevin Keller got married in the Life with Archie alternate future.
That's probably the only...
It might be the only time it happened.
It seems like there are more healthy relationships in the Life with
Archie. Oh, it's Midge. Yeah. Midge and Moose?
Yeah.
Is that her name? Midge?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not healthy.
No?
Isn't it? She's constantly just, you know, leading on Reggie and getting them all...
Oh, really?
Getting Moose all mad for...
I've never caught on to that.
There's a lot of mess... Again, like, you know how they're sort of doing more, like, kind of adult and also kind of messed up takes on Archie lately? They're doing a drama TV show that's supposed to be, like, you know, very dramatic and, like, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. Turns... Now that I think about it for 2 seconds, no, that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Riverdale 90210.
Yeah, nice. Basically that's what they're doing. It's a show called Riverdale, and yeah, you know what? Yeah, the relationships in that show were pretty messed up. Jughead and Hamburgers. That is the healthiest relationship on that show. Comic.
It's a show.
It's a show now.
It's a show now. So, Betty or Veronica?
Who would I?
Who?
Betty.
Yeah?
Betty.
Okay, all right.
Oh, both Betty. Of them.
Ah. Oh, he was trying to work them both into a three-way.
It's been a...
No, Jughead was the
he's
king.
He's playing the long game on that one.
I gotta go with Midge.
For Archie?
Yeah.
Was that a thing?
No.
No.
That's why I'm safe, because everybody likes Archie, except for Midge.
That's true.
That's how Kyle gets in there.
But
have you noticed Big Ethel?
Getting prettier.
Oh, yeah. Was that somebody that posted was, that? Was no, that you?
That was me.
You posted that.
Because that's been a thing for a long time.
Over the years, she's getting prettier and prettier. And
that most recent one that was posted there was just like, it's ridiculous. It was just like, she's just cute as hell now, apparently. But like, also, like, she didn't even seem tall.
Yeah, it was like little.
Short and adorable.
You're not even big.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do they call you that? Is it like a fun nickname? Like calling somebody tough guy?
Let me just go through a couple. Kitty and Colossus. T'Challa and Storm. Okay,
awful. Speaking of weird age thing.
Yes. I had in my notes I had listed of like good ones and bad ones. They're on my bad list.
Really? I always their age is not that far apart.
Well, yeah, when they started, like, she was 13 and he was like 18.
Was it that far?
Yeah.
Was it?
Okay. It was. Like, I think when they actually sort of were starting to become something, she was like 14 and he was 19. It's not good.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, well,
it's not good.
She's a mature 14.
Was she? Did you see the costume she made for herself? Ridiculous.
I'm Sprite.
Yeah, she's
I'm
clearly.
I'm 7-Up.
Yeah.
I'm delicious and bubbly.
I'm lemony flavored.
Yep. No, I don't think that was ever.
I always kind of. I never looked at it that way, but now that you say that, okay. But I've always looked at it. I grew up with them. As a kid, the two of them were always kind of back and forth.
Sure.
And it was never super serious. It always seemed like they were just kind of dating.
Yeah.
And it was always that, it's the teenage kind of dating thing. It was never...
Kitty seems to exclusively have sort of bad relationships
with
Peters.
Totally, yeah.
Specifically with Peters.
Are you referencing Pete Wisdom?
Peter Quill?
Maybe Pete Wisdom. Currently
Peter Quill.
Currently Peter Quill. And Ultimate Peter Parker, but it didn't end well. So
she
has bad luck with Peters. Wait.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah, so Black Panther and Storm. Let me just go through Let me go through a list really fast.
Yeah.
And just give me your...
Okay.
Just our ideas.
Absolutely.
Black Panther and Storm.
Good on paper.
Good on paper.
Not on the slightly more quality paper.
But at the same time, I think
high prestige paper.
Yeah. Like, it made a certain degree of sense on paper, I guess, but at the same time, it felt kind of just like,
forced?
Yeah. Like, it felt like, oh, here's a natural way to put these two are natural two to go together. And it's sort of like, why, though?
Is it... Let's take the two black characters put them together.
And again, they're both from Africa, and they're both, like, again, like, she was, like, a, you know, kind of worshipped as a goddess, he's a king.
So
there's a certain amount of sense there.
There is a certain amount of sense, yeah.
I never quite got, you know what I mean? I didn't quite buy it for chemistry. You know what I mean?
I get it, yeah. I honestly didn't read the books that I was reading. I didn't see too much about it, but...
We're talking about Storm. We're talking about the X-Men.
Okay.
Yeah. The X-Men are the most incestuous super team of all time.
It's like the cast of that 70s show.
On and off screen.
Sorry. Yeah, probably.
That's accurate.
Yeah. So I believe Merc has assembled quite the list.
You got to look this up. I can't remember the exact title, but if you just look up like X-Men relationship chart.
Ooh, that sounds like a nightmare.
It is. It's this huge thing, and I meant to actually print it off tonight, and I totally forgot to do it.
Put it on a chalkboard.
I would have to print it off on like four normal kind of 8.5 by 11 sheets in order to put it all together.
This room's actually wallpapered with it.
Yeah, but it's basically like
Bendis live here?
Yeah, the little heads of each character, and then. Like lines connecting and different colored lines depending on what the connection was. Whether it was like serious relationship, marriage kind of thing, a one off stand, flirtation, a one way flirtation, that sort of thing. Or some of them were like alternate.
One way flirtation seems like you're reaching at this point.
Some of them were, but it was like.
I feel like Nightcrawler is like attached to almost everyone in a way.
But some of them were like flirting. They heavily flirted in somebody's direction and.
Look, somebody's got to like Stacey X.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we get to, in this list, like, it's focusing on the X characters, but it includes a little bit of other ones.
Right.
Because some of them connect in there. But Wolverine has fallen in love, had crushes, banged, one night stands, whatever, everybody.
Everybody likes little hairy dudes. Right?
Yeah, he does pretty good for like a 5'4" ugly guy.
Who is 183 years old.
Yeah.
He's learned things.
But that's the thing. Once he started making this list, then I was like, this gets a little weird. Because you discover he's got a thing for young ladies. He's got a thing for the ladies, but then he seems to be connected... both, like, it's like, okay, him and Kitty Pryde never had a thing, but
I hope not.
No, but what I'm saying is there's always been that connection that it always seems to be Wolverine and young girls.
Well, he's a Jubilee. Father figure.
He's a father figure, and I get that, but then it's like, it seems to be, that's been played and played and played 100 times. I'm like, okay, all right, I get it. But then there's also a couple of times that it's like, oh, no, that's romantically involved with a pretty young girl.
Okay.
Such as
Squirrel Girl, who that's only been alluded to several times, but there was something...
Well, it was strongly alluded to.
It's strongly alluded to, but never really explained.
By, I think, Bendis, funny enough, because you just mentioned him.
Yeah.
New Avengers.
We'll see if Ryan North capitalizes on that.
We'll see.
Mary Jane.
That's a good book, though.
That's
Ultimate.
And so we've already established that.
And that is, that is Nasty Wolverine.
Is Nasty Wolverine.
Oh, when they switch bodies.
Swap with Peter. Oh, Peter Parker. Oh,
and
God.
And then they
kind of
hug at the end, and she's like, promise you'll do that? What we did earlier, you won't do that till
we're
older.
Or what he tried to do.
And it was like, whoa.
It's like, that's a 15-year-old girl, and you're...
And you're 183 years old. So...
That's bad Wolverine, though.
Yeah, that's bad Wolverine. So there's Jean.
Well, he's dead.
There's the obvious. There's Jean. There's Storm. There's Emma. Silver Fox. Viper. Mariko.
Mystique.
Oh, yeah. Mystique was in there. Tiger. Yukio. Rose. Mystique. Dazzler. Heather Hudson, Snowbird, Carol Danvers.
Sheesh. Did he hook up with Carol Danvers?
He never actually hooked up with Jean either.
What about when they were on the space station and was gonna die?
Didn't actually.
I don't know if there was ever
been a hookup. No. Nothing actually happened.
They were very close, though.
It seemed like, yeah, but nothing. Yeah.
He pulled out.
It hurts every time.
You sheath the claws.
I'm the best there is at what I do.
I mean, he did. There was some penetration, but that was him killing her so she would turn into the phoenix.
Well, le petit mort.
The little death.
Dear God.
But yeah, then there is the young lady thing, which, yeah. You know, that makes me question like him taking over the school. Right. Maybe that's why they call him the headmaster. You know who else gets around? Is Namor.
Oh, that's true.
Well, can you
blame on him? On that list, he was connected to tons. Like
who?
Susan Storm.
Oh, I thought it was just an X-Men list.
Well, but it does, it kind of catches, because since Namor is kind of connected to X-Men now.
Right.
He was on there. But there's like,
he's a mutant. He's the first mutant.
He's the first mutant. Yeah. There's Sue Storm, what about Marine Ops? I always wondered that.
Well, he's the first Marvel...
He's the first published mutant.
Sure, okay.
Publication history.
Yeah, fair enough.
But there's like Sue, Marina, Dorma, Emma Frost, Lyra, Phoebe Mars, Carrie Alexander, Betty Dean, Namora, Abira. Like, there's a bunch on these lists that I'm like, I don't even know who the fuck these people are.
These sound made up.
Like, these some of these I know, some of these are from the John Byrne run that... of his solo series that he started in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
Like the Phoebe Mars and Carrie Alexander are from that. Betty Dean, I think, is old from, like, Bill Everett time.
Oh, yeah.
Like the original run. And Namora, I don't remember that, but whatever. Awkward. Mystique, Iceman, Logan, Azazel.
Azazel?
No, is it? Yeah.
Azazel?
Nightcrawler's dead.
Azazel.
Yeah.
I still believe that the original intention.
That it was just some guy?
No, it wasn't.
Some count?
The original, I don't know if it was the original intention necessarily, but there was the theory that Mystique was the father.
Oh, right. And Destiny was
the mother.
Right.
Which was...
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they were, you know...
On my list, she was connected to her, and I was like, how is she connected to her? And I was like... That was at least
a prevalent theory until Chuck Austin had to go
fuck it all up.
Chuck Austin it up.
Yeah, Chuck Austin it up.
Hey, let me just chuck this out there.
Before we started recording, I actually started telling you about
awful.
That.
I'm a bad man.
That list of horrible runs or stories or events that have been, and it was like the top 10 list of horrible Marvel ones or top 10 list of horrible DC ones, and one of them was. Of the Marvel one was Chuck Austin's run on X-Men. Not even one story.
God awful.
Just his horrible entire run. Yeah. And I've never read it. I've only know of it.
I started getting back into X-Men.
Yeah, I read too much of that.
And it's funny that you're like, wow.
I was able to get through that and still enjoy it.
I paid money for that. It wasn't... Oh, God. That, on my list of regrets, it's on there for sure.
Yeah, but it was Canadian money, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Worthless. How about Big Barda and Mr. Miracle?
That's a good couple.
As far as couples go, that's one of the best ones.
Yeah.
And again, like having sort of, you know, Kirby sort of basing that a little bit on his own real life relationship with his wife.
Barda.
Yeah, Big Barda was partially based on his wife.
Yeah. Personality-wise, like just sort of like their
which is funny because I literally just, and I can't believe I didn't even write it down for this episode, but I just saw this maybe like a week ago. There was a I don't know if it was like this Comic Legends Revealed kind of thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh God, I know that one. John Byrne burned it up. Yeah.
No. I think it's I'm not sure who did it, but it was Big Barda and Superman.
Oh yes.
No, that was John Byrne.
Oh, was it John Byrne?
I don't think it didn't actually happen. Or it was open
just,
to interpretation.
Just got to the edge.
How open? Yes.
Got being forced to, yeah.
See, I like how this episode is going, where it's like, here's a sweet story. It's like, here's how we can make it horrible.
How about we make it dirty?
Yeah.
Well, but that's like the funny thing. It's like, there's
things in your ears.
There's lots of great couples. There's like Peter and Mary Jane and Cyclops and Jean, who I, you know, a lot of people shit on Cyclops. The two of them together, I think, are still iconic to me.
Yeah, until he had that tryst with Emma Frost.
Well, but then that's later. But
and even then,
before that, there was Madeline.
Where he left his wife and child to be with duplicate. His high school crush.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been there, right?
Sue and Reed, Scarlet Witch and Vision,
yeah,
Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, which is a fairly new one, but I think is really good.
That's a great one.
That one I liked because it's one of the first ones I've seen where it's done, like, especially from Jessica Jones' point of view of him telling, or her telling him, we have a kid. I think we need to leave the Avengers. This is fucking crazy. We're getting attacked by everybody. We have a baby. We need to take this child out of the environment. And he's like, okay, yeah, we're going to do it. And then they just keep getting sucked back into it.
Right.
But again, I think it's a great storyline.
The way that relationship sort of evolves, and again, mostly Bendis on that one, obviously. But
Bendis writes everything.
It was very, very well done. And I feel like, you know, you're seeing Jessica Jones and Luke Cage introduced into Marvel Cinematic Universe tied together. From the get-go, because he's appearing the first time in her show.
Yeah.
And that works.
I'm looking forward to that. There's been some recent casting announcements and things with that. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Oh, Tennant. Oh, my.
Tennant is the Purple Man.
Purple Man. He's going to be good. It depends on how they do it.
I'm afraid to just even see that.
Yeah.
I read about that years before I ever actually read through Alias. And I was like, I don't want to read this. I know I'm going to have to, but I don't want it. And I finally got to it and read through it. And I'm like, well, that was kind of rough.
Yeah.
I don't and know. And I in a way,
that makes the casting brilliant as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, everybody loves David Tennant. Everyone in the world loves David Tennant. So that's going to be fun. And by fun, I mean deeply uncomfortable in a way where you cannot look away.
He's nasty.
How about Ralph and Sue?
The Dibs?
I knew you were going to bring that up. I had it written down.
I don't...
Who's going to bring it up?
I am not going to talk about Identity Crisis. Right. Let's avoid that. We've bitched about... I've bitched about that.
I bitched about that. I don't mind it as much as you do. But.
Well, that part of it is garbage. But those two as a couple...
People can die.
Yeah, well,
I know. I know it's a horribly...
Her death is not the worst part of that, obviously.
I know.
But, regardless of that, those two just being basically the ultimate kind of just team. Like, he's a superhero, she's his complete partner, and they were together. That's it, man. Like, that was...
Just solving mysteries.
Solving mysteries and just, you know what I mean? Just being an absolute partnership.
Kind of like Kyle Rayner and Alex DeWitt.
Oh. once we get a little optimistic, you tear us down.
Yeah, I was going to say kind of like Booster and Beetle.
You know what? That's a natural.
Yeah, like, when I
could have just... come out.
Why didn't they ever, have sex? They're back in
Justice League 3000 or whatever it is.
That's right.
So they're
having future sex?
Maybe.
Cool.
It's possible.
I have another joke about Kyle Rayner and Alex DeWitt.
Oh boy.
Should I do it? It's pretty bad. Let me just warn you. It's not.
Trigger warning.
Yeah. Kyle Rayner, Alex DeWitt, their relationship got kind of choppy, and then it went cold.
Oh. Yeah, I like it.
You like it?
Fuck it, I'm keeping it in.
Fair enough.
All right.
I'm going to list off...
It's no tentacle sex, but you know what?
I'm going to list off some bad ones.
But on the bright side, it's no tentacle sex.
Exactly. Yeah, there's that. Bad relationships. Joker and Harley Quinn.
Kind of abusive.
That's the most abusive relationship. That's crazy abusive.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most emotionally abusive, just messed up thing. And again, appropriately, because, you know, psychotics make sense.
Right,
but at the same time, it's so weird how often that seems to be lost on a lot of fans. Like, there's people that actually seem to legitimately romanticize that when it's never was supposed to be that. Like, even in, like, the cartoon, it was sort of shown to be... this isn't good.
But at the same time, it's one, it's fiction. Two,
okay, yeah,
it's
they're, fiction.
They're villains.
Sure,
friction.
It's friction.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Like it does. All relationships don't have to be
sure
the idealistic. Whatever.
And again, they're of course, they're psychotics that are together. I'm not exactly. saying it, I'm not saying it's a bad
there's
one
no
to
way
read
that
about.
The two
it's
of
not
them,
a bad one to read about, but it's just sort of funny, like, you know.
There's no way the two of them should be treating each other good.
No, right. Of course. And
really,
because
then it would be like, that would be the stupidest plot line ever.
Yeah. That's the point of it. It's just sort of
would like,
the like
point
where...
Would you like some tea? Yes, I would.
If fans are sort of romanticizing that.
Now. Hello. Hello, Mr. J.
How about Thanos and Death?
Oh.
Where he's just straight up stalking
the
her.
The ultimate. Did you ever read that Thanos Rising?
I believe
Jason Aaron wrote it, and Simone...
Bianchi.
I don't know how you pronounce his last
Bianchi,
name exactly.
Like that.
Beautifully drawn and really well written. That it was like, this is how Thanos's love of deaths began, and it's the perfect origin kind of ish story,
right?
It's not the full origin, but it crosses from when he was a kid and on, and you see just that development of the psychosis and just the development of just a love of death, and then of creating death, and just how it all rolls. And it if you haven't read it.
I
totally
that's
right.
One of the ones you
recommended.
Are you crying?
Hold me!
Bri, hold him.
Bri,
right.
Hold him down! Anyway.
Punches!
Yeah.
Dr. Doom and Scarlet Witch?
Wait, what?
Well,
oh, no!
Children's Crusade.
Ooh.
Which I didn't really know about until doing research for this. I didn't.
Yeah. I knew about that a little
you
bit.
You don't know if they were like boning on the reg.
They were what?
Boning on the regular.
Oh, reg.
Yes,
I heard reg.
It's an E.
I heard reg.
I mean, that, and not that there's an issue there either.
I gotta say, if the story that was basically intended to, you know, recover the Scarlet Witch a little bit to sort of, you know...
How about more mutants?
Yeah. Try to, like, to fix all of the things they did to that character involved her hooking up with Dr. Doom.
I gotta read it. I haven't read it, so I can't really say,
well,
but I don't actually know mine.
You've heard of Boom Tubes. Check out the Doom Tube.
Oh, God.
Well, I'll take you to another world.
Yeah.
Won't be as fast.
It's
close.
This time platform makes time stand still. Also, I'm Dr. Doom.
Take the mask off.
No. Leave it on. You put it on.
Yeah. So how about The Thing and Alicia Masters, huh? They're good.
They're good. They are good.
I like the idea. I just like, and again, this is not fresh stuff, but on a conceptual level, like the sculptor and the guy made of rock, and again, her not being able to see him, but also having the best idea of what he actually, you know, being able to feel every bit of it and having very in tune that way. Those two together always...
You feel gross. You feel like a bunch of rocks.
Oh, your rock is getting kind of mossy. You're all wet.
Oh,
good.
Is that like a moss pubes thing?
No, it's not at all. Is it? I was going for actual moss. And it's like he gets wet. Like a rock grows... Mossy? Yeah.
Sure.
I wonder if the thing gets mossy. I don't know. That's how the Swamp Thing is created. But you know what?
At the end of the day.
Romance.
It's all about love.
Right.
And that's
we didn't even mention Hank Pym and Janet.
I had a
which is probably
what, yeah.
For the best.
Yeah. I don't, whatever. I went through years of that being the greatest. That was a good relationship.
I will say a few more that we didn't really, I'll just mention that, yep. I enjoy. There's not really tons to say exactly. Well, Apollo and Midnighter.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
There's not much, you know, that they didn't really get too in-depth because it was kind of, you know, it wasn't all about, like, hardcore character
work. I feel
work.
Like Midnighter got pretty in-depth. Midnighter was the top.
I would assume.
Yeah.
But yeah, those, again, it was basically just, you know, kind of Superman, Batman analogs that are just, they just love what they do and they're good together and that's all there is to it, which was nice. From Saga, Marco and Alana there. Marco and Alana, I love that. Like, again, I love just how they handle that relationship. Yeah. The ups and downs, extreme ups and downs, and just, you know...
A very really realistic
approach. At this point in the story, things are kind of shaky.
Yeah.
But, for obvious reasons, but I feel like, it's realistic and it's interesting, and yep. I feel like, it, you know, those are two where that you're kind of rooting for them all the time, even though things aren't easy. Which, you know, makes for a compelling story, I think, for a romance.
It's good to know that romance isn't dead.
It's not dead.
In comics.
Not in comics.
Another good one, Daredevil and Karen Page. Right. And
I think you just hit the bullseye on that one.
Who are we?
Wow. Wow. I am flabbergasted.
I am astounded.
Yep.
I'm Kyle Lees. You can check out my stuff at skiNinjas.com. Comics and fun stuff and poetry and more.
I am Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.
There it is.
.ca. I don't have any poetry.
That's okay, man. You can borrow some of mine.
Send me a message and I'll write you some poetry. You can find me on Facebook at Merc. Yeah, I'll do that.
I'm Bri Kotick. My comic is Welcome to Hereafter, which is at welcometohereafter.com. And that's basically the thing that I do. Though I will also say, you can look us up, Zero Issues Comic Podcast on Facebook. If you want to give that a like, that would be really, really cool of you. And also, we are Zero Issues on iTunes. If you look that up, you should find us. And if you want to subscribe... And or please give us a nice rating. That would be really cool and would help us out a little bit.
I'll write you a poem.
He will.
Mark will.
He will. I won't.
Kyle's known for his poems, but he's not a part of that.
I've been told that people like my poems.
Yeah, he has very good poems. I like his stuff.
I have his book. Has he got a book of poems?
I do have a book of poems.
It was good stuff, man.
You know
I enjoy
where
it.
You know where you can buy that? At skiinjas.com.
You sure can.
Pickety bang.
I don't have a store set up. That's not true.
Just send him an email. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Also, Ocean City Defender.
Ocean City Defender did the helped us with the theme song.
The fucking awesome theme song.
It's great, man. It's like super good, and he's got so much good music. It's
yeah. Go find him on the Book of Face, or I'm sure he's got a website. Check it out.
Is he on iTunes?
He does have a website.
He has. I'm sure he's probably on iTunes.
He's big in Japan.
He's big. He is actually. It's weird.
And that isn't just a Tom Waits reference.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a Tom Waits staring at me right now.
It's on the wall. Yeah. Tom Waits is just hanging on the wall right now.
We're recording at the Mad House.
I'm big in Japan. I hope you let me down
I'm
soon.
Big in Japan.
Yeah. All right, well, that's the end of that.
And to sing us out is a snippet of a Squirrel Girl song.
Squirrel Vlog. Girl.
Take it away, Squirrel Girl.
Wolverine's love song.
Wolverine's got a crush on me because I'm a mutant. Wolverine's got a crush on me because I'm a mutant. And even though we're sworn apart, you still hold me in your heart. And Wolverine, though we'll never be, just so you know, I'm finally 18. Wolverine's got a crush on me because I'm a mutant. Wolverine's got a crush on me because I'm a mutant. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Oh my god. 18 and a mutant. Yeah, Wolverine's there. It's all he needs.
Why would
he I'm gonna pop at least two claws.
Did you go for a fist bump? Had to be a vlogger with a ukulele.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Fuck, I hope we got that.